everybody. You're tuned in to heritageradionetwork.com. This is Flash Talks Cash, the show about money. I am Joanne Flesh Fleming. The show talks about making money, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. We're on every Thursday from 4:30 to 5 p.m., and we are sponsored by the Hearst Ranch, which is the nation's largest single source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable, native grasslands of Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to www.hearstranch.com, H-E-A-R-S-T-R-A-N-C-H. I'm here today with my beloved son, Andrew Newman, who's my co-host.
Thank you for not calling me invisible this week.
Invincible.
You usually start with invisible.
And I want to thank my engineer and my producer before we get started, because I always forget, Jack Inslee, my producer, and Nat Wiener, my engineer. Today's show is Speaking Financies.
Financies, not financialese.
Financies.
I like financialese better.
Well, financialese could be your word, but this is my show.
But I'm here. I'm the invincible Andrew Newman.
And we're broadcasting from Brooklyn, so that's how they talk in Brooklyn.
Like what?
Financies.
But we're not talking like we're from Brooklyn.
I am from Brooklyn.
You're not from Brooklyn.
We're broadcasting from Brooklyn.
We're broadcasting from... You're not from Brooklyn.
I live in Brooklyn.
Now you do.
All right, so today we're going to...
Oh, come on now. Go get a cup of coffee or something.
Okay. He's trying to be funny. So we're going to explore the foreign language of financial talk. You know, you went to high school and you learned Spanish, Italian, Latin, German.
I also went to college.
And they never had a course in the foreign language department called finance. Finance.
Well, it's not a foreign language.
Well, it is to many, many, many people. So today we're going to go through like...
Can we call it a dialect instead of a foreign language?
No. Well, yeah. Okay. That's a good idea, Andrew. I'm glad you thought of that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Can I get a recording of the show? She actually said, wow, that was a good idea.
Mark that
holy,
this
holy
day.
Cow. Watch out. I'm getting compliments.
Well, sometimes you're worthy of them.
I think
them.
It's the first one we've had on the show.
All right. That's enough. Let's talk about the various terms that will start simple, which many of you know and some of you don't. And I'm not judging. This is not judgmental. This could be challenging for some people. This could be boring to others. But let's just start. So the first thing, of course, is a checking or a savings account.
Are you asking me these questions?
Well, I'm just throwing things out at you. That's a pretty...
Everyone knows what a checking and savings account are.
Everybody knows what a check... There is a difference between a checking and a savings account.
There's a difference between checking accounts and checking accounts.
Okay, but let's just be real basic.
Okay.
A checking account, you generally don't get any interest. A savings account, you get interest, but you can't write checks against it. That's the difference.
Yes.
There's a CD. Certificate of Deposit.
That's it.
And what that is a savings account that you can't take out. It's not available to you for the period of time that you lock it up.
Well, you could break your CD and they take amount of interest.
Yeah.
And if you're over a certain amount of time, you get interest anyway.
Well, he's getting very technical.
There was I worked at a bank. I worked at a bank for a year.
We're going to test.
Weren't you proud of me?
Well, that wasn't really the best job you ever had. So a CD, you put away money at the bank. They give you generally a higher interest rate and you can't get access your money until that term is over. You could put it in for 6 months, you could put it in for 5 years, or any period that they're selling. They have all different CDs. So CD is what we call illiquid. Liquidity means you can access it. Illiquid means you can't access it. That's another financial term.
Yes.
Okay. Mutual fund. This is one that a lot of people don't understand what a mutual fund is.
What is a mutual fund?
Come on, Andrew.
You want me to tell you what a mutual fund is?
Let's see what he knows about.
A mutual fund is a bunch of stocks sold together as one lump, and you buy into the mutual fund, which owns a bunch of different stocks.
Well, that's good. And a little bit more information is you generally have a money manager who is transacting all the various different stocks for you. You know, you don't know what stocks to buy, especially if you're not financially savvy. You don't know whether to buy Xerox or Verizon, and a mutual fund manager will buy all those stocks and transact them for you, and he'll buy a few of a lot of different stocks. That's a mutual fund.
So a mutual fund is more diverse.
It's a collection of stocks. Right.
Instead so it's more diverse. It's a little bit more, it's a little safer than buying one particular stock.
Well, it could be.
Isn't that the point of a mutual fund?
No, that's not for safety. It's to...
Well, it's safer than buying one stock.
Could be.
It's putting trust in the money manager who buys the other stocks.
Could be. And a money manager, explain what a money manager is. We're throwing these terms around. These people don't know.
I assume a money manager is the person who takes the funds that people give him to purchase these mutual funds.
Money. He takes your money.
Takes the money. And then he then spreads that around to other stocks.
Buys a variety of stocks.
And that gets lumped up into your pool. And you get a return on those stocks.
And he's got lots of customers doing the same thing over and over again.
Yes.
Okay. A money market account.
That's a bank account.
That's a savings account.
Savings account.
But you're not in a true savings account. You're actually invested in a mutual fund.
Yes. So, but it is backed by the bank and FDIC, correct?
Money market accounts are not.
They're not.
And FDIC, tell people what FDIC is.
FDIC is if your bank goes out of business, the federal government insures your deposits with the bank up to, what is it, $250 now?
No, they went back to $100,000.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So if your account is, you have savings or checking in the account up to $100,000, if it goes belly up, and that happens sometimes, the federal government insures the bank, and you will get paid on an insurance policy for the amount you had in your account.
Up to $100,000.
Up to 100. If you have over 100, you lose.
But banks going belly up is a lot less common nowadays.
Well, a few of them go out every year now.
Who?
Oh yeah, hundreds of banks went out over the past couple of years. Did you know that we had a recession?
Not in New York.
We're
broadcasting.
We're worldwide.
We're worldwide. We're on the internet.
And Andrew's thinking very small. We got to think globally, Andrew.
I'm a micro person.
Yeah, well.
I got to think more macro.
Macro, yeah.
Are those money terms as well, or are we going to skip it?
Yeah. Go ahead, tell them micro and macro. Tell them what that is.
Micro is small and macro is big.
Yeah. So when you talk about microeconomics and macroeconomics, they probably know that term. They can figure that out. It's thinking locally, small, micro, and then macro is worldwide and thinking broader.
I like to simplify it as small and big.
Yeah, well, small is okay, but you got to have both.
Okay.
401k.
401k. You 401k. I know what a 401k is.
You have a job.
Hopefully.
And
Well, that's only for an actual job, right?
That's
a W-2.
Right, job.
You have to have an actual job, not a freelancer.
A job, and your employer has to offer, it's a pension plan. It's a pension plan that you contribute to, and oftentimes your employer will contribute in your account.
Matching.
Also.
They match.
The beautiful thing about a 401k, not only is that the employer will put some money into your account on your behalf, but this money that you put away in your pension is not subject to income tax. So it's called pre-tax.
There you go.
Pre-tax is another term. It's money that you get to put away and not have to pay tax on.
Well, you pay tax on it when you take it out,
right,
correct?
But pre-tax means you're not paying tax.
I just want to clarify that.
Right. You're not paying tax now. Someday, when you pull out your 401k and you live off of your pension, you'll pay tax on it then. And it'll have grown to a substantial amount of
Hopefully.
Money.
Hopefully.
Sure.
And also, you get the free money from your employer.
If he matches, and many of them match.
Most
that's
match.
The whole point. And let me just make a quick suggestion. If your boss is willing to match 3% or 5%, at the very least, put in 3% or 5%, because effectively, you've now earned 100% on your money. If you could put away 3% a week out of your pay, and you make $1,000 a week, you're putting away $30. Your boss is putting $30 also. So every week, $60 is going into your account, and it only costs you $30, and you're saving taxes on it. So do it. Do it. IRAs. Everybody knows, they've heard the term IRAs. An IRA is an individual retirement account. It's for people who don't have 401ks or some sort of pension plan at work.
Couldn't you do it on top of that?
You can if you have low income. But let's just assume that you are making a decent living. You can't do an IRA if you have a 401k. You don't have a 401k. You're probably eligible for an IRA. You could put away $5,000 a year by April 15th and deduct it off your taxes.
And isn't it more if you're old?
And if you're over 50, you can put away $6,000.
There you go.
Okay.
Why are you discriminating?
And so that's an IRA. So what's a Roth IRA? People don't know the difference.
Isn't a Roth IRA, it's taxed later on?
You
or it's not taxed later on. You pay the tax up front, correct?
Right. You don't deduct it on your tax return. You put the same money away, $5,000, into a Roth IRA. You pay the tax now, and you don't pay tax later when you take it out.
Even on the gains?
That's right. Grows tax-free.
So
it's a good deal.
So say I put in $5,000 into an IRA. And it grows to $30,000.
Right.
I have to pay tax on the $30,000, not on the $5,000. So if I put $5,000 into a Roth, it grows to the same $30,000.
Right.
I'm not paying any tax on the $30,000.
But the difference is you pay tax now versus paying tax later. The thought is, I always believe in defer. Don't pay taxes now. Wait till you're old. You don't know what the rates are going to be. You don't even know if you're going to be here. You don't know what it's going to be worth.
Okay.
So, and usually when you're in, you're working and you get to put away a Roth and you don't get deducted, you're often in a very high bracket because those are working people are in the highest bracket. When you're a retiree, you're in a low bracket. It works. It depends on your individual case by case. Sometimes IRA is worth it. Sometimes Roth IRA is worth it. But no, there is a difference. One is tax deductible now. The other one is tax free later on. I just want to get the terms out there so people don't sound so dumb.
There's a lot of terms.
A lot. Then there's a simple plan.
What's a simple plan?
Simple IRA, which is another one where you contribute towards an IRA account. It's kind of like a 401k. So there's a simple or 401k, kind of similar. If your boss, you have to have a job.
Oh, the simple is also through work.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a SEP, which is a simplified.
Wait, can we go back to the simple?
Okay.
What differentiated between a 401k and a simple IRA?
It depends on the plan that your boss has set up. He doesn't either has one or the other.
Is there a difference?
Yeah, there's a difference in contribution. You could put away a little bit more in a 401k, put in way less in a simple. And it's the employer generally selects one over the other for administration purposes or other reasons.
Okay.
So if your boss offers a 401k, participate. If he offers you a simple, it's the same concept. Don't be afraid of it.
Okay.
And then there's a SEP, a simplified employee pension, which is for the self-employed people.
Freelancers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's another one. You can put away a lot of money in a pension plan if you make a lot of money.
How does it work?
Well, you take a percentage of your net income after expenses and you put it away in a pension plan and you deduct it this year. It's like an IRA. You deduct it now, you pay taxes on it later.
So you're able to put more into this fund, you're saying?
Lots more. Yes. Depending on how much income you show on your tax return.
How much more?
Well, you could put away up to 25% if you up to $200,000+. So you could put away $49,000 a year in a SEP.
So I have to start making
$200,000. But you got to make money, you got to pay the taxes, and then you get to deduct the SEP.
Okay.
And people who are doing well and they can afford it often do that. They put away a lot of money. They shelter their money now because they're in high brackets now. And they deal with their paying the taxes on that pension plan. And when you retire, you can have millions of dollars put away.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So you got to be smart. Make money, pay taxes. You get to take care. You get to participate in these plans. Okay?
Can you hire me again so I can make a lot more money?
No. I already hired you, and we're not going there again. Can't you just work for yourself?
I do, but I would like some free money. I remember a couple weeks ago, we were talking about
money?
Hiring your children. Remember that?
But
remember that show?
You have to be 7 to 17. You grow up, Andrew.
Damn it.
Okay.
Wow, that was just mean.
Well, let's go to some investments. A muni bond. You know what a muni bond is?
It's investing in a municipality.
Right. So a muni bond is a municipal bond. You're investing in, say, the city of Rochester or the state of Illinois. That's a muni. That's a municipality. And you're investing with, so they sell bonds and they pay a little bit higher than the banks do. And the beautiful things about muni bonds is the interest you make from that is tax-free to the federal government.
Awesome. So you can invest in a city or... doesn't the MTA do stuff like that,
too? Yes, the MTA has that because...
So it's their way of raising money, correct,
for their
programs?
Yeah, yep. That's exactly how they fund some of their budgets and stuff.
So maybe
yes.
The MTA should do that again
but
instead
be
of raising
prepared. Be prepared. Some municipalities are teetering on bankruptcy. So they can default on the bonds.
Are you talking about New York State?
I'm talking about all around the country.
Every state?
They're having a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So the muni bonds, they pay more. Generally, the interest rate is higher. They're tax-free in the federal. So they're effectively a better investment, but they do have problems sometimes paying. So
okay. How long are those bonds usually?
They can go out 10 or 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your money may be tied up for 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's illiquid.
It's illiquid. So how
can we
call
it unliquid?
Illiquid. So how are we doing now? Should we go through the rest of all this? We have a few more. Let's go through them real quick. Triple tax-free bonds. That's a New York City term because we get charged tax in federal, New York State, and New York City. Triple tax-free means it's tax-free in all three of your tax returns. That's okay. What triple tax-free means. So when somebody throws triple tax-free at you, now know what they're talking about, okay?
I've never heard that before.
Triple tax-free bonds?
Never heard of it.
Wow. Well, you...
I'm a bookkeeper, so I don't really get into this.
When you make money, these are things that you should...
I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah. Well, you got to work harder. Work more.
Treasury bills. I thought it was work smarter, not harder.
Treasury bills. The American way, you work hard, you do the right thing, you become a millionaire. That's the American way. Horatio Alger. Go to work every day, work hard, and you get paid, and you'll be fine.
How about the 50 Cent song? Have a baby by me, maybe be a millionaire. Have a baby by me, baby be a millionaire.
Yeah. Those people who do those things, they really have a great life there. Okay. So
hold on. I think we're going to take a break right now.
We're going to take a break.
We'll finish up the list when we get back.
Okay. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash on Heritage Radio Network. We're talking about financiers. I love that. I love that word now.
I think you should coin that along with many of your other phrases.
I love that word. Those of us from Brooklyn and the Bronx, I can lay claim.
What about Staten Island?
Born in the Bronx.
Staten
Andrew
Island,
was born
Manhattan,
in Staten Island.
Queens.
We can say financiers.
How about all the boroughs?
And you know what? We earn that because we all work in the finance department. Finance capital of the world. Okay, let's finish up all this. We have gross pay and net pay. Many people don't know the difference. Gross pay, you know, nobody can, when somebody says, how much do you earn? They don't care how much you bring home. They're not interested in how much you bring home. They're interested in how much you gross. How much money is your salary before taxes? Because net pay is just after all the deductions. If you have 7 kids, your net pay is going to be higher than somebody who doesn't have any kids. So when somebody says how much you earn, it's that I earn $50,000 a year.
So your net pay is after taxes then? And that's
right.
What your take home is?
Right.
That's your disposable income.
Yeah, that's disposable. That's another good term, Andrew. Okay, then we have secured debt and unsecured debt.
Okay.
Yeah. Secured debt is something that you borrowed money and they're holding collateral. Collateral being a house, a boat, I don't know, a piece of furniture.
If you have a guarantor, is that a secured debt?
Guarantor is somebody that secured your debt.
So that is that your collateral then at that point?
Well, that's not really collateral. Guarantor will secure your debt. It may be secure. It may be collateralized, but not necessarily.
Okay.
You know, a parent often guarantees a debt of a child, but that doesn't mean that their house is on the line. That means that their credit is at risk. If the child defaults and the parent defaults, they're both going to be in trouble. So unsecured debt very commonly is credit cards. They have no security. You don't pay. They can't come after anything. A secured debt is a good example is an apartment. If you default on your mortgage, they'll come and get your house. That's secured and unsecured. We have one or two more terms. We have hedging. I mean derivatives. Derivatives. Listen, most of you will never have to understand what derivatives are. If you don't know what derivatives are, you don't belong in that market. And I'm telling you, even people who do understand derivatives, it's a complicated thing. It's hedging. Hedging means you're insuring against a possible loss. If you say that I think oil is going to go up in the next month, you bet that you take an option or a put or a call. And you're betting that oil's going to go up. And when it goes up, you make money. If the oil goes down, you have an insurance policy of some kind. That's hedging. That'll pay you for your loss.
What's a put or a call?
Put or a call is one of those things where I don't know. I can't go there.
You're throwing terms out there. I don't
a put and a call is something that it's a future promise to buy something at another price.
Okay.
Okay? So you're betting that it's going to go down, or you're betting that it's going to go up. When you hedge, suppose I say oil's going to go up. I also go buy an insurance contract that says if the oil goes down, I'm going to get reimbursed $100 a barrel, and that'll offset the losses that if the oil doesn't go up.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's complicated.
Mud.
Don't go there.
Clear
if someone
as mud.
Says derivatives, say, oh, yeah, I'm not involved in derivatives. Okay. We're going to now wrap this up. I want to just throw this last things out at you. Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, and the S&P.
Got it.
Those are measurements to tell you how the stock market's doing. The Dow Jones is an indicator of a broad
Spectrum of stocks.
Thank you, Drew.
There you go.
That tells you how the market's moving. If this broad spectrum of stocks is aggregately moving up, the Dow Jones or the S&P measurements go up, and that means overall stocks are increasing, and the reverse if things are going down. So these are just measurements of how the economy is doing on the stock market.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Moving along.
We're going to now go to an email question.
I got a question. From who we got?
Joanne.
Oh, okay.
Joanne from New Jersey.
I saw Joanna. I thought it was to you.
No, I'm Flash.
Not everyone calls you Flash. Moving along, Joanne recently purchased a house, and she was wondering what kind of tax deductible items there are on her closing statement.
Okay, well, she sent me her closing statement, and there's quite a few things, and this could be disappointing. I'm going to tell you. You pay a lot of money. This woman happened to pay, $64,000 in, she paid $10,000 in closing costs. She's got city and town taxes. That's deductible. She's got origination charges, which are points. We talked about points a couple of weeks ago. That's deductible. She's got interest that she paid.
Mortgage interest.
Interest that she paid from the middle of the month to the end of the month. When you close in the middle of the month, they charge you interest to the end of the month. She's got real estate taxes that she paid. Those are deductible. Unfortunately, the following are not deductible. Title service charges, lender's life title insurance, owner's title insurance, attorney's fees, deed recordings, mortgage recordings, and overnight delivery fees.
So you're saying everything except for mortgage interest and
Real estate taxes. And points.
Everything else is
not deductible.
So what about if you're using this for a business?
Those become amortizable over a long period of time.
So like a freelancer, if they purchase their home and they use a portion for their home office?
A piece of that over 39 years gets deducted.
You roll that up into the total cost of the
right.
house, correct?
And you get about apartment? You get about $27 a year in a write-off, so it's not exciting.
Well, at least you get to use it.
Okay.
I like to look at that. Look at the positive.
We're going to go to the creative accounting segment.
Let's move along.
And let's hear what our story is this week. Okay, we're back. We got three cards from the Storymatic box of cards. The Storymatic is a collection of cards that help stimulate creative stories. The three cards we have from last week were...
Is that... Okay, I'm sorry. We have Slowpoke, Principal...
That's what you are.
Oh, we got jokes. And Equipment Malfunction.
Say them again.
Slowpoke, Principal, and Equipment Malfunction.
Okay.
You got your glasses on, Flash?
And the key to submitting a story is you got to use those three terms in your story and add a financial component to it.
And also 250 words,
please.
Oh, yeah.
Please. Andrew put a limit on it.
Please.
You count the words because I don't want to count. I count enough things all day long.
Rough estimate, but please keep it brief if possible.
So this story is from Mahalia Cohen.
Okay.
Okay. This is the efficiency expert. I used to work as a secretary in a school office until I got fed up with the principal, who was a real jerk. I'm efficient, you see. I don't mess around. If something needs to be filed, I file it. If a phone call needs to be made, I make it. If a letter needs to be sent, I send it. I was damn good at my job. If someone was slow, I let them know. I could do my job and their job, no problem. Every day, I reminded my stupid boss that he should be more efficient. Hey, slowpoke, I'd say to him. If you were any slower, you'd be moving in reverse. How'd you get to be principal anyway? You're the most inefficient person I ever met. Talk about failing upwards. What is your family, in the mob? You know somebody? I mean, how in the world did a knucklehead like you get this job? Okay. Maybe I should have been a little more delicate, but I was just being honest. I mean, how many times did I point out that his salary was $120,000, but I did all the work in the office and barely made $35,000? Anyway, the final straw came when we were supposed to get our paperwork in for the state grant, and that would have prevented us from further cutbacks. Plus, it would have funded a new art teacher. All that needed to happen was this jackass to sign off on the paperwork, and then I'd mail it into the state. Then we could all feel secure that everyone who had a job would keep it, and we'd be adding an art position. Of course, I knew he would take forever, so I gave him plenty of time. "Hey, Dumbo," I said, "don't forget to sign off on the grant. It needs to be in the mail by Wednesday." Now, Wednesday was a fake deadline. I made it up because I knew he would miss it, and he did. Then I said the deadline had been extended, and we had until Friday, and he missed it again and again and again and again. Get this. That hammerhead said every time he went to sign the paperwork, his pen wouldn't work. I said, "Hey, stupid, use a pencil." Then he said the pencil kept breaking, and besides, he couldn't sign such an important document in pencil. I said, "Hey, loser, use a crayon. Use a magic marker, but use something." And every day it was the same thing. The crayon melted in the heat, the magic marker dried up, his pen ran out of ink. Finally, the real deadline came and went, and we never got the paper, in which meant that we never got the grant, and that meant that the school had to cut back on non-union staff, which meant I lost my job. Did you know what happened to that schmuck who fired me? He got a letter from the governor saying what a great principal he was and how brave he was to find places to cut his budget, and that he was a model for principals around the country. I don't know what's wrong with this country when jackasses like him succeed where decent, hardworking people like me get thrown to the wolves.
Wow.
So you know what the problem with this person is?
Wow. I feel like that was a personal story. I don't know about...
That's an angry employee.
Hey, I guess that happens.
And I suggested that angry employee make sure that she or he pays her cobra because she needs to go for medical therapy.
Wow.
But anyway, this person is now eligible for unemployment insurance.
I guess so. And that's been extended to 18 months, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I think 2 or 3 years, depending
on the
state.
Now it's up to that now? Fantastic.
But don't forget, you got to pay taxes on that.
Okay.
Okay. The job search expenses that they're going to be looking
write
for
them
a
off.
New job. Write them off.
There you go.
Totally deductible. The car fare, the resumes, or the magazines you buy, the newspapers looking for jobs, all of that is deductible.
What about new clothes?
No. Clothes, okay. No. And then if you have to move across the country or across the state line or more than 50 miles away, to when you land that new job, your moving costs are deductible. That includes, you know, the airfare and the hotel and while you're looking for a job and while you're looking for a house to live in. So that person has quite an interesting financial life after she or he got fired.
I think they needed a break. I think she needed to step away for a while.
Well, I think that she didn't get along really well with her boss.
That happens.
It happens a lot.
Very important finding a job. You have to get along with the people you work with.
Yeah. And, you know, $35,000 a year, she probably could find a job that will pay maybe more.
And if she had children, the earned income credit she got on that?
Oh,
my God.
Let's not go there.
All right. Next
week. Tell me what the next week the Storymatic story has to have included in their story.
There we go. All right. We got a plumber, writer of bad poetry, and medicine isn't working for this person.
Okay, and don't forget to include the financial component in your story, and Andrew and I will critique it, judge it, laugh at it, or help you out
fictitious
with it.
Fictitious, preferably, but apparently nonfiction is,
well, some people,
is pretty fun, too.
Some people need to base their stories on real-life experiences.
I feel like most people do that, you know, when they're writing a story. I had to when I was, because I'm not as creative an accountant as you are, so...
Well, maybe one day you'll write a story.
Really?
Wouldn't that be interesting? Let's see how Andrew's creative side operates.
What are you talking about?
Well, why don't you write a story for the next show?
I think we should leave it up to the listeners.
If we talk about prizes, maybe that'll get you.
Oh, there are prizes?
Well, why don't we start talking about prizes and we can get maybe more interested parties submitting stories.
Okay, what kind of prizes are we offering?
Well, I think there are all gift certificates available through the radio station.
Oh, we have gift certificates.
We do. And so why don't we start look into that, and the next time we get a good story... And we'll have to figure out who's going to judge the stories.
I think I should judge the stories.
No, I think you should write a story, and we'll judge your story.
What?
We've got a bottle of wine that we can award to. Let's say we'll award it to a story that you guys choose as the best.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. See how he said we choose? You like how
me
he did
and
that?
You.
Me and you.
Okay. Well,
if you don't want in on this, I'll do it.
So starting in September.
Actually, I might write the story and try to win.
Of course.
I could use a bottle of
anything
wine.
Anything for free booze.
Free booze is the best.
Okay. So we'll say the best story in the month of September will award a bottle of wine to the winner.
And what about the poor person next week in August? No, wait.
Should we go back to
this? Today's the 26th.
Yeah. So
the wine is courtesy of the Barter House, by the
nice.
Way.
Barter House.
The Barter House. Thank you,
Barter House. TheBarterHouse.com.
Wow. Okay. A second plug there. I like that.
Okay. So we're going to say goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week. And read those three things again, because now we got an interesting story with a prize awarded.
Plumber, writer of bad poetry, and medicine isn't working. Thank you
all
very
right.
much.
Goodbye.